It is John Gibson. It is the Morning Digestion for this September 17th. So there's some weird stuff going on because Trump. He had a big rally in New Mexico last night, which you probably know about. Rio Rancho, New Mexico, just a suburb of Albuquerque, and I'll have more about that in the podcast later today. Meantime, so there's there's the big rally in New Mexico. He's which Politico covered. I don't even think New York Times said anything about it. The LA Times. He's about to take a two-day swing through California. They expect that he'll harass the Democrats about homelessness. I expect they're right about that. Okay, so this is the... I'll get to Kavanaugh in a second. That's probably the biggest political story. But on the international stage, it's all about Iran and Saudi Arabia. The New York Times is attacking Trump for letting, for saying that he's going to consult with the Saudis and see what they want to do about this attack on from Iran. I mean, it's pretty damn clear it's from Iran. The Wall Street Journal has a story about the U.S. telling the Saudis this attack came from Iran. It didn't come from the Houthi rebels in Yemen. The Washington Post says Trump is schizo, big threats versus eagerness to make a deal with Iran. New York Times says he shifts his tone and plays down war talk. The Washington Post says the Pentagon doesn't want a war. The New York Times has a piece on the evidence against Iran. Now, let's just go back and take a look at the big picture here. It's clear Iran attacked the Saudis. President Trump made some noises about, we're locked and loaded and ready to go, and then kind of backed off, wanted to consult with Saudi Arabia. He's being attacked for consulting with Saudi Arabia. He said, once again, Trump is deferring to Saudi Arabia. Well, what these people want, they don't want a war with Iran. They definitely don't. But they want Trump to get into one so they can criticize him. So they're criticizing him for not getting into a war when that's exactly what they want. It's just, it's pretzel logic times 100, and you've got to, sort of read between the lines at all points in this. Here's my explanation for why Trump is deferring to Iran. You can go back and look at all these books from Bob Baer. Iran could attack Saudi Arabia, and there would be no stopping it. I mean, they can shoot missiles across the Gulf so fast, there'd be no stopping it, and they could take the Saudis out of the international oil business like that. And so the Saudis probably are saying, yeah, they attacked us, but we don't want to pick a fight with them right now and have them go all out and attack us again. And by the way, oil shot up a few bucks a barrel and could do it again. And so, Trump's deferring to the Saudis or apparently deferring to the Saudis has some reasonableness in fact because of the Saudis' vulnerability to a full-on attack from Iran if Iran wants to do it. Anyway, that's where things stand. It doesn't appear we're going to be attacking Iran anytime soon. But we're going to do something. I can promise you that. Because this is a big deal. Kavanaugh. So on the list and links, I misspelled Chris Coons' name, called him Chris Dunes. But in the New York Times, it was Chris Coons who wrote the FBI about Max Steyer's allegations. Max Steyer is the one who says he saw Kavanaugh at a drunken dorm party, drop trow and whip it out into the face of this Debbie Rodriguez. And Chris Coons wrote to the FBI saying he didn't name Max Steyer, but he said he had a contact with somebody who had something to say, and the FBI didn't investigate to his satisfaction. So they're complaining about that now. Washington Post says inaction on the allegations stirs up trouble. And then you get around to this whole business at the New York Times, and I'll be running the bites from these two reporters, two women, who went on Lawrence O'Donnell's show to explain how it was that, you know, a major fact was left out of their story in the New York Times. And they blamed it on the editor. The major fact, of course, is that Deborah Rodriguez, who Max Steyer and others say this happened to, doesn't remember it at all. She has no recollection of it, and she doesn't want to be interviewed about it. It's a weird thing in the New York Times story. They say she accuses Kavanaugh, although they admit she doesn't remember it. So I don't know how you justify those two things, that you can, you know, write that she accuses Kavanaugh when she won't be interviewed, and her friends say she doesn't remember it. So anyway, there's a piece in the New York Times. The New York Times editor explains why they left that thing out, blah, 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 blah. It's just weird. You know, they repeat this accusation that Debbie Rodriguez said Kavanaugh did it, but she doesn't recall. Anyway, Washington Post has a story about the Supreme Court, tries to be above all this, but the partisans keep trying to drag the court into it. The Democratic candidates for president, like Lizzie Warren, like Beto O'Rourke, like Kamala Harris, are calling for the impeachment of Kavanaugh, although the guy who would do that, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, is not interested. He said, we got our hands full with the Trump impeachment. So this apparently is just clearly a way to dirty up Kavanaugh for posterity. Politics. Axios says China and Iran are joining Russia in trying to screw up our election. And on the listen links, I said they're trying to fuck with our election. And in other words, you know, you're going to see stuff on social media that's just totally fake. And it could be Russia, it could be China, it could be Iran. They're all in on the game. New York Times has a big story. AOC is going after a sitting Democrat. He's not progressive enough, so she's going to back the challenger. The challenger who lost to the guy already once wants to run against him again. New York Times, Trump and Warren lay out opposite versions of corruption and represent left-wing and right-wing populism. Sort of an interesting piece. Washington Post writer says Biden isn't the only Democrat to engage in blaming black people for their troubles. And this is kind of a warning. If you're a Democrat, don't blame black people for their troubles. It's white people's fault. Politico, the Obama team is going to step up and back McCabe if he is charged. Okay. Social justice warrior Shane Gillis is fired by Saturday Night Live for a joke about Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang himself is not pleased. He reached out to Shane Gillis and they're going to talk, but he doesn't think anybody should be fired about a joke about him or by Asians in general. And there's a lot of screaming about Andrew Yang as not being sufficiently loyal to his own ethnic group. Obviously, I think it would be Asians who are complaining about Andrew Yang not being Asian enough. New York Times runs a story, you know, the same Shane Gillis said these awful things about Asians, but they never quite say what he said. I mean, you know, you have no opportunity to judge this. Apparently, he said something about he's annoyed ordering food at a Chinese restaurant because Chinese waiters don't understand him. I don't know. But it's just amazing that they say he slurred Andrew Yang without saying what it was he said, and that he said racially insensitive things without saying what it was he said. New York Times, Chris Rock writing a book about race. That ought to be interesting. New York Times. Okay, so this is out in the open. This is a little like Beto O'Rourke saying, hell yeah, we're going to take your AR-15. This is a columnist, a black columnist for the New York Times saying, hell yeah, we're going to pack the Supreme Court. We've got to. So, you know, bear in mind, you know, when Trump leaves office in 2024 and the Democrats come roaring in, don't let them have the Senate, because they will increase the number of justices on the Supreme Court and, you know, pack it with liberals to balance justice. Washington Post, hot thing on YouTube is the James Baldwin, Bill Buckley debate from 1965. Say it's a big hit. The economy, GM workers on strike. Tech. This is an interesting story. It's in the LA Times. You know, all those stupid scooters running around, those e-scooters, electric scooters, this infantilizing of millennials goes on and on and on. It's the backpack generation, you know, in their adulthood running around on scooters. God, grow the fuck up. Anyway, there's something called a geofence. So you're riding your scooter along and it stops. Gee, why did it stop? Well, property owners in the area put up a geofence that just disables these things as they approach. The instance the LA Times is talking about is Santa Monica Pier. You know, they don't let you ride your damn scooter on the Santa Monica Pier. They have a geofence and it turns your scooter off, you jerks. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. New York Times, rural America is in the midst of a brain gain. Smart young people are saying, hey, you know, these small towns are really nice. Yeah, I don't really need Brooklyn. I really don't need the Mission District in San Francisco. I like this town in Iowa. San Francisco Gate. Well, this actually was published in the Washington Post first. Anyway, why Roman history is essential to understanding America's future. It is, you know, one should read Plutarch and Livy and the rest simply because that our country is sort of based on that stuff. Anyway, and by the way, when you read Plutarch, you see where Shakespeare got his stuff. Yeah, nobody was reading Plutarch in Shakespeare's time either. It could just rip him off and nobody noticed. San Francisco Chronicle. The San Francisco Bay is rising. What can we do? What's interesting about this piece is they say by 2050, there'll be a 1.1 foot rise in the bay waters in San Francisco Bay. And then they run maps showing a 6-foot rise and a 10-foot rise. Well, when's that going to happen? I mean, if 2050 is a 1.1 foot rise, when's this 10-foot rise? No, I'm not answering your call right now. Whoever you are, it's actually a pharmacy calling to tell me that I have a prescription waiting. Also in the San Francisco Chronicle, this is an interesting piece. The majority of people arrested for serious crimes are rearrested. Boy, that rehabilitation Joe Biden's talking about just ain't working so well. Also in the San Francisco Chronicle, I've seen this story before, but they're running it again now. There is a guy running for San Francisco DA whose parents are locked up. Well, his father's locked up still. His mother was locked up. His mother is Kathy Boudin. His name is Cheze Boudin. Anyway, he's a public defender now. Sounds like an interesting guy, well-traveled, read a lot, speaks a ton of languages. He's running for DA. And his mother, Kathy Boudin, and his father, whose name isn't Boudin, I can't remember his name, they were the getaway drivers for a Weather Underground Brinks robbery in which a couple of cops were killed. His father's still locked up for life, evidently. But his mother got out after a while, and she's now a lecturer at Columbia University, I think. Anyway, so that's your morning digestion for now. I am going to have, be sure to, you know, if you're not already a subscriber to the podcast, be sure to go subscribe, because I'm going to have sound bites from the two reporters on the Kavanaugh thing. I'm going to have stuff from the Trump rally. I'm going to have stuff on Iran. So to go to johngibson.com if you haven't already to subscribe to the podcast. And you can write me with your complaints and compliments at host@johngibson.com. And don't forget, you can call and leave a crazy message at 859-544-2766. That is called the bitch box. And it's there to bitch if you want to. Please. Recording is kind of muddy on this. This is Merle Haggard doing Pancho and Lefty. I always liked this song, but, you know, it's... I don't know why the recording's so muddy. It's just as... They didn't do a good job on this, anyway. All right, see you on the podcast.